Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! Three quarters of the squad, Ice, Rob, myself,
what's up?
Cam, no bitch-ass Brennan.
Bitch-ass Brennan. I wish he can hear me, because he's...
Ho-ass, but he probably, no, oh, he's in the other studio.
I don't know, he might be down
there. I just saw him walk by. Yeah, I saw him walk by.
He's heard us call him. Yeah, there he is.
There he is.
I'm here working. Yeah. He knows talking. I heard
bitch-ass
that.
Bitch-ass
Brennan. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Thank you. That's so great.
You're cool, man.
That's so great. I'm so
Rob called you a bitch first. I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Rob, did you call me a bitch first?
I did not call you.
Thank you.
He didn't say it first.
That's why I knocked your phone on the ground.
Thanks for the cameo,
Brennan.
Fuck you. Well, that's so great.
You got
I'm
your,
so happy
you got
that
your,
he was close.
You got your appearance. Ah, oh, see, you fucked your timing up, bro.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, you should have done my tag. Hey, bitch ass Brennan.
He had a headphones on. It don't.
Yeah. Bitch ass Brennan, bring your bitch ass back real quick, man. If you hear us, bring your whole ass back, man. I got a surprise for you.
That's not happening. Never in a million years.
So yeah, you
don't get the same without the headphones.
You know what we're doing here. We do one-off, talk our shit, debates, whatever. Join that Patreon. We are at 89 patrons, y'all. 89.
So close.
We are 11 away.
Trying to give.
We are 11 away.
Got to give Rob that haircut.
That haircut, man, is
right
coming.
On the precipice.
It's we coming.
We could possibly get it next week, man. If y'all just add 11 more patrons, man.
Who else doing this type of stuff for you, huh?
Come on.
I don't even have to lead into it. I really laying this stuff out there for you. Who else is doing this? Who else is giving you the anime versus the movie nights, the fucking new haircut, who this haircut? Like, who is doing this for y'all? Nobody. Other than us. The greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
That's right. We hold it down, man. So make sure 11 more, y'all. 11 more. Join us, man. It's only $5. Patreon.com/animation. S-H-U-N. Animation. S-H-U-N. Patreon.com/animation. We just need 11 more. We're going to record that whole thing for y'all. Y'all get to see this whole thing. And for people that's not joining Patreon, you might get a small little clip. Or just a picture of Rob's haircut, but that's all you're going to get.
That's all you're getting.
You're not going to get the full process of what we see. So, I mean, we're going to get into the shits in a second. But we all know what happened the other night. Will Smith slapping Chris Rock.
The other night, because it's going to be Friday.
Yeah, Friday. The other night, whatever. Yeah, right?
Yesterday for us.
What anime character, man, would you smack the dog shit out of? They talk shit about your wife.
Oh,
because
we
man.
Never, yeah, that's the
we
question.
We didn't finish
that.
The question. That's right.
Yeah. Who are y'all smacking...
Y'all already know who I'm
the uttermost doggest of shit out of.
I mean,
if he talks, I mean, you don't have a wife, so I guess your son. I guess, yeah.
Can they retaliate? I think that's.
Or are they just gonna stand there like,
yeah.
"Wow, dude"?
Yeah, because I
wow.
Think, no,
dude.
You know what? I would smack the fuck out of Tanjiro because he's too nice to do shit about it.
He would, yeah, he would.
He wouldn't do shit.
No.
But once also, he realized
he
that I'm not a demon,
he wouldn't be talking shit.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't talk.
We
shit.
Wouldn't put. Yeah, he wouldn't be like. Yeah, if Tanjiro says something,
not
about
love
Icy,
me, not the one you dog his whole show. Talk shit to him. Go and smack him.
He feel like somebody that's going to hit back.
Oh, he going to give you that business?
he would definitely hit you back.
He can, and he far long. Like, he long as hell. So, like, he can, like, run away and then smack me with his long-ass arm, and I can't do nothing about it. Like, at least if Tanjiro square up, I can still get a couple hits in before he cut my head off.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm smacking the shit out of Tanjiro.
Rob.
Pre-show I said Gabby, but that feels wrong. I feel like I can't
smack
slap a child.
12 year old girl.
Yeah, that sounds wrong.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong at all, Rob. That's what you feel in your heart, man. I'll double up with you.
I'm trying to think, like, because
y'all just out
up,
here smacking 12 year olds. Y'all gonna pull up to the junior high?
I just brought
the
up the good point, like, is who's hitting back? Because I'm just like, man, I'd love to slap the shit out of Bakugo, but like, he's definitely hitting back.
Yeah.
That's like, I'd slap and I run because like that and that dude's fast. I'm running and I'm hiding. But
what about Goblin Slayer or somebody?
Oh yeah, because I'm not a goblin. He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'll slap Goblin Slayer right through his helmet.
Right there, huh?
He's gonna be asking for potions.
Potions.
How dare
you?
I want to
see Goblin Slayer square up with somebody. I feel like he can hold his own.
He probably
hand
could.
To hand. I think he probably.
I
could.
Think
he,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably. I mean, yeah.
Who would win between him and Tanjiro?
In a fight?
In a sword fight?
They had to. If they had to actually fight, and Tanjiro's smoking that guy.
I think so too.
I'm taking Tanjiro. Yeah. Though, yeah.
Not even close.
Who are you taking? Who are you smacking?
You said Gabby. That was my number one for sure. But if I got to go to my number two, I'm spitting on my hand. Mm. Spitting on my hand like The Rock, like Dwayne Johnson, and just hauling off, cocking back. Senji, dog, just... Mm. Bow!
Yeah.
I know, he's young, too. He's 14.
Damn, you out here smacking. What's up with you and kids? Your top two choices are children.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids, bro. Like, you understand that at the end of the day, I understand that kids, they might not know any better. You know what I'm saying? At times. But fuck them. Like, yeah, Senji's getting the dog shit smacked out of him. If he goes, well, your wife looks like, I'm just, before he even finishes that shit up, I'm smacking his head. I want his head to just beat to do the Daffy Duck, bro, to spin around.
I think it'd only work in the heat of battle if, like, he don't want to get into his, what did they call the Evangelion?
Save the world!
If he want to get it, that's when it'll work. It's like, nobody would question it in that moment. His dad, especially. His dad would probably be like, hey, slap him.
Like, slap him.
You sure? You sure I can slap your son? All right. I don't know if y'all watched Atlanta, the new episode of Atlanta. I wouldn't slap him that
three
hard.
Slaps.
Then. I would just hit him with that three slaps, like pat, pat, pat.
Yeah.
Get your ass
Which
in that
is a,
fucking.
Wow, that's a true story.
Yeah,
that fucking.
You watched Atlanta or not?
I've seen the first two seasons. I haven't watched this new episode yet.
Yeah, that first episode
blew
crazy.
My fucking mind. When I realized, I didn't know I was watching and didn't know it was a real thing. And then I looked up the real thing. That fucking he had on the same outfit.
Yeah.
And the free hug shit.
I'm not surprised.
That look it up. It's gonna fuck. It fucked me up.
I don't want to say a line, but there was a line that made me and Janelle laugh for like 5 minutes.
Was he when he had the free hug?
Oh, don't say.
I'm not gonna say the joke, but that's when he had that.
That was funny.
Bro.
Yeah.
We legit were in fucking tears.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's hilarious.
It was.
Man, we got some good slap candidates in the chat. We got.
Oh, let's go.
Light Yagami.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I'd love to smack the shit out of Light Yagami. Really? Shao Tucker, of course.
Shao Tucker.
Oh, he Shao not getting.
Father, that combiner, Shao Tucker.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was thinking Shao Tucker was what's his name's dad? Shinji's dad. What's Shinji's dad's name?
Akari. Gendo Akari.
Yeah, Gendo Akari. Okay. I thought that was him. Yeah, Shao Tucker getting that dog.
Nah, Shao Tucker got to see these hands. I feel like, again, like we were talking about, if I slap somebody, that's my second thought. My first thought was that you a bitch. Because, like, if it's somebody, I was saying, if Aaron Donald, I'm not slapping Aaron Donald. Like, Aaron Donald say something crazy about Icy, I have to punch him. Like, I have to hit, like you said, strike fast and strike hard.
Yeah, no
I'm
mercy.
Not slapping Aaron Donald.
No, like, he's catching your hand like the dude from Squid Game.
Exactly.
He's just like, no, dude.
Exactly. So it's like, it's certain levels. Shao, I'm not slapping him just because of what he did. I feel like his levels pass a slap. You got to catch these hands and just get your ass stomped out.
Yeah, no, some good choices. Yeah.
All right, so you said no anime news this week?
No anime news this week, but I got the recap.
Okay, so remember, we're doing episodes 4 through 6, Arcane, man. Episodes 4 through 6 of Arcane. I hope y'all caught up. Spoilers ahead. If you're not, you know what the fuck it is, man. Get your whole ass up out of here. All right, go ahead, hit them off, Rob.
All right, so we come back to Piltover several years later after where we left off on the eve of their 200th Progress Day celebration. Jason Victor's Hextech has transformed the city by allowing fast air travel, and Heimerdinger invites Jace to give the keynote speech at the celebration.
Rob, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Did they say, I might have missed it, did they say how many years ago, I mean, how many years have passed?
No, I think it's probably in the range of like 8, 10, something like that.
Because I was kind of confused. I was like, what the fuck? Why are they, everybody grown?
Yeah,
what's
everybody.
Going on?
I mean, Jinx still looked, she kind of looked a little young.
I'd say like, because she's like probably, I mean, we want to say.
18, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say around there, like 18, maybe 20. When we first met her, she's probably like 10, 11, something like that. And by probably like 15.
Because that's the dude I seen that looked the oldest was the young guy with the Victor's homie, the dude that became counselor and stuff.
Right.
He looked the oldest out of everybody who grew the most.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think there was an exact number of, but it's like, I would say 6 to 10 range, somewhere in there. As Jace is praised by everybody in town for the inventions that almost got him banished, he checks in with Kate, who has now become a low-ranking enforcer, much to the disappointment of her family. We also see that Savika is helping Silco to smuggle Shimmer into Piltover, but their operation is nearly stopped by another gang calling themselves the Firelights. As they set about destroying the Shimmer, they set off a trap set by Powder, now known by her new name, Jinx. As Jinx fights off the firelights, one with pink hair that she mistakes for Vi distracts her long enough for them to destroy the shimmer, and in a rage, Jinx just fires wildly, killing the pink-haired girl, injuring some of her own teammates, but the leader of the firelights escapes. Elsewhere, Jace and Victor show Heimerdinger their new hex sect that they've developed with stabilized crystals that they want to show off as part of the keynote speech. It's all stuff that would be useful for workers and laborers, but Heimerdinger worries it could be weaponized and warns against releasing it. Both of the men are frustrated as they want to help the people who need it now, especially Victor, who comes from the Undercity. Meanwhile, Kate, who has found the scene of the attack on the Shimmer delivery, is interrogating one of Silco's men that was left behind, but before long, Marcus, the leader of the enforcers that Silco's rat, shows up and tells her to mind her own business and puts her on a night shift.
Hey, man. Mm. Fuck Marcus, bro.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Fuck that dude. In Zaun, Savika goes to see Silco, where he has set up shop in Vander's old bar. We see in the time that's passed, Shimmer has brought money and drugs into the Undercity. She complains that Jinx is out of control, but Silco stands up for Jinx as they kind of have like a father-daughter thing going on and pins the failure on Savika, who angrily leaves.
It is. Was this that uncomfortable moment where she's kind of like rolling up on him? And
she's like in his lab, like kind of like
that. Shit was weird.
It
bro.
Is weird. They got a weird thing going
that
on.
That shit, yeah. And there's some other stuff that happened. Well, you'll get into it with the water and shit. I was like, what you doing?
I'm gonna gloss over a lot of it because there's so much that happens. So if there's something you want to bring up, definitely you know, stop me where I'm at. After he talks to Jinx, tells her to keep her eye on the ball to complete their mission of creating an independent city nation. And later, she talks to the apparitions of her dead siblings and makes plans to make up for her failure. In a party in Piltover, Mel contradicts Heimerdinger and tells Jace that he should debut all his discoveries and give the people what they want, a new ambitious leader. He goes to give a speech and contemplates the reveal, but much to Mel and Victor's disappointment, he does not reveal the new tech. Outside, Kate guards the venue with six of her other low-level enforcers. They mock her for taking it too seriously until there's an explosion set off by Jinx that kills everybody but Kate. In the chaos, Jinx steals the stabilized crystal that Jace had just off stage.
Bro.
Yes.
She is coming with hard Gabby vibes. Continue, please.
Feeling guilty, Jace comes out to the council and suggests that they shut down all his hex tech until they can guarantee people safety. Mel instead suggests that they add him and his knowledge to the council. In Zaun, Silco is furious with Jinx for going off on her own, but she presents him with the crystal that she stole. He takes this, you know, takes this in conflicted thinking, you know, maybe Jinx is out of my control. Maybe I don't have this dog on a leash like I thought I did. Jace goes to see Kate after the attack, check in on her, offer her a position on his staff as head of security, but she's insulted by the whole thing and trying to keep by basically him trying to keep her safe. Feels like she's close to cracking this case and whoever's behind all the smuggling and the attacks on Piltover.
She's like Kim Kardashian. She wants to work hard and get it on her own.
But the family just is like, hey, man, here's this cushy job. Instead, she goes off on her own to visit the prison where Silco's man is being held. When she gets there, she finds out that he was attacked by somebody else in the prisoner. So she goes to see the attacker and finds out it's a long imprisoned and very angry Vi. Mm. She asks Vi, hey, what are you in for? There's no record of your arrest or your crime. She's like, well, I pissed off the wrong guy. Who is Silco? Vi sees some of the evidence and is quick to recognize Jinx's work. And she says that she can help prove that Silco is behind everything. And Kate reluctantly has her release from prison. After the funeral for his dead men, Marcus goes to see and confront Silco about Jinx, and he instead tells him to blame the attack on the firelights and gives him some money for the grieving families before kicking him out to the street. He then goes to see Jace, who wants him to dig up old evidence on corruption. Marcus pushes back, saying, you know, hey, like, it's your first day, isn't it? But Jace is soon distracted by Victor, who's succumbing to his illness, nearly falling off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
He goes to check on him, and he's taken to doing some new experiments with the crystals. He thinks he can teach the hex tech to learn and operate on its own, but Jace is worried that this research might not be safe. Meanwhile, Vi has led Kate to the Undercity, starts to look for information on Silco and her sister, and at that same moment, Jinx experiments with the refined crystals. But when she powers it up, she has a flashback to the night of her invention killing her siblings, and she freaks out. She returns to her old stomping grounds and tries out one of the old training games her gang used to use to train. But even with her being all grown up, she can only muster a second place score behind Vi's best. Mel later warns Jace that he is making enemies by basically playing by the rules. She convinces him that the best way to make change is by making backdoor deals of his own and connects him with the people in power in Piltover. He thanks her later, and the two end up hooking up. In the city, Silco sees the walls closing in on Marcus and warns him about Jace, tells Jinx that she needs to, you know, hurry on making the new crystals work for them, but she's still dealing with her personal issues. Vi, meanwhile, drops Kate at a brothel to find some information and strikes out on her own. Victor continues his work in the lab, but isn't able to get it working how he wants. His assistant, who is also clearly hitting on him, he cluelessly sends her home on her own. After she leaves, he collapses after coughing up blood, and the crystal just absorbs the organic material and changes.
Man, get it together, bro. You had a little cutie on you, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't working about your sickness, man. Fuck all that, bro.
All you have is now, Victor.
Get something before you get up out of here. She could have saved your life. You almost died because you were saying no to the cat.
After his quote-unquote meeting with Mel, Jace brings Victor, goes to bring Victor to the hospital. The diagnosis isn't good. Yeah, you want to elaborate on
Mel
this?
Mel bad than a motherfucker, man. Mel is bad as shit. Mel is one of my new favorite baddest anime characters, bro. Yeah. She is absolutely stunning, dog.
While we're here, and I brought this up in a text message already. Mel or Esdeath?
Dog, as busty as Esdeath is, man, I gotta go Mel, man. Yeah. Mel just seems, because at the end of the day, you don't know what the hell you're getting from Esdeath. She, like I said, she can possibly kill you. She can be a little aggressive. I as much as I like a little bit of aggressiveness from time to time, I also like love and compassion. I could be a softy sometimes, man. I like a nigga like to be held. You know what I'm saying? I'm going through a rough day.
She was big spooning.
Yeah, you see it.
She was big spooning.
She was big spooning, bro. I was like, okay, all right. I'm not saying I like to be big spoon. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
what it sounds like to me, sir.
I'm not agreeing with that. What I'm saying is, hey, man, every once in a while, I like to put my head in my lady's lap and just lay there, man, and not do anything sexual. Mel is beautiful. I love the gold on her. I like that she has that gold. Her eyes are beautiful.
She just seemed really soft.
She seems like a very just like strong but feminine woman at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's a great combination to have. Yeah. Knowing that you're strong but also knowing that you're feminine at the same time. Beautiful combination. Mel,
no arguments here.
Mel, look, I am married. But in the anime world, what's cracking?
What's good, Mel? Well, Jace leaves Mel's bed unannounced to go check on his buddy Victor, finds out the diagnosis
that's my
for his
shit
friend
right there.
He's not good. Just steal out
get
in the middle
the
of
fuck
the
up
night.
Out of
the
here.
Dentist method.
Ice beats and dips. Dicks and dips. That's what he does.
Dicks and dips. Oh, man. But unfortunately, Victor only has a short time left to live, according to the doctors. In Zaun, Soko takes Jinx to where Vander nearly killed him, explains to her the importance of rebirth, and baptizes her in the waters, and tells her to leave her old life behind and give herself over entirely to her new identity, Jinx. At that same time, Vi tracks down Savika, looks for revenge for her betrayal. She catches her off guard, but Savika has surprises of her own, like a shimmer-powered robot arm, and starts beating the shit out of Vi. Mm. Vi turns it around, though, for a moment, lands a couple, punishing combos, kicks her through a wall. It all goes sideways, though, when she asks where Powder is, and Savika reveals that, hey, your sister's not kidnapped by Silco. They're hanging out. She works for him. They're like father and daughter. Her name is Jinx.
Shit. Mm. Isn't that what I saw?
That ain't no father and daughter shit. Because this after he put her in the water and shit?
Yeah, this is after that.
So that was weird. That was fucking weird. Because he was like getting all close to her face and stuff, was like almost kissing her, and then was like, you go down into the water. I'm like, bro, you're weird.
They got a weird,
you're
like
Stockholm syndrome type shit right
Oh,
here.
For
like,
sure.
You're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a tap for that on Pornhub. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Momentarily distracted. Yep, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I had a conversation with somebody about that the other day. I don't care how bad. I know it's not real, but I can't never watch porn that's like, I fucked my sister. Like, they just never, I've never been able to do it. I've never been
what
able to
is
do
that
it.
Story
like, I
about?
Hate, they, but they love that shit. That's like one of the top five, probably most searched. My sister, we fucked. I'm my mom. Like, I could never do that shit.
No. Momentarily distracted, Vi lets her guard down, and Savika stabs her with her metallic arm, and it's about to be curtains for her until Kate saves the day, shooting Savika's arm, breaking it, and forcing her to run. As they look for help, Jinx gets her crystal tech working, and Savika warns Silco that Vi is out of prison. You sorry, what was that?
No, she's like, I'm out, bitch.
There we go. In a flashback to Victor's childhood, we see him making inventions that lead him to be mentored by an old man living underground with his genetically enhanced monster pets named Singed. I think that's his name. It's spelled Singed, but I don't think his name is Singed. In the present, Jace explains to Mel why she woke up. Like, hey, why am I waking up alone? She's pretty mad at first, but she softens when she finds out about Victor's diagnosis. He's frustrated that their tech isn't being used to help the people in the Undercity like it was meant to. She tells him to go be with his friend and, you know, be with him in his time of need.
See, a good amount of women would have been like, I don't care about what you went through. You left me at the end. She was like, oh, my bad. I was tripping. You good. Go ahead. Get it off your chest, Zaddy. Boom. Go back.
What, like, homegirl from Invincible, she wouldn't have gave a fuck.
No.
Oh, yeah.
None.
Like,
she wouldn't have gave
I know
a
he's
fuck.
In the hospital. Why didn't you tell me on your way out the door?
Oh, he's horrible.
In the Undercity, Jinx finds out that Silco has roused up his men to go chase down some mysterious girls, try to find out more about what they are and what's going on, but everybody's refusing to tell her, you know, who it is that they're looking for. That is until she drugs Savika and gets the info out of her. Savika revels in telling Jinx that, you know, that Vi has ditched her for some enforcer. But after her baptism, Jinx isn't quite as easy to influence.
Her baptism.
Silco then goes to visit Marcus in his home, threatening his daughter for his displeasure not killing Vi years ago, and tells him to fix it. Marcus has to kill both her and Kate, or Silco will be back for a much less friendly visit.
Bro, once you put my family into this, the plan now is in play to get you the fuck up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Once you show that you can get to my family, I got to get you up out of here, dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more questions. I don't know if Marcus is going to do it in the last few episodes or not, but... All right, Rob's over there shrugging.
I'm just going to have to shrug for now. Also, right. Because I kind of don't remember. As Jace goes to visit Victor, he's not thinking about his disease. He's instead excited that the Hextech is responding to organic matter, causing plants to grow wildly, but they soon die after. He hopes he can use it to cure himself, but he and Jace worry that they may not have the time to figure it out to make it work safely before Victor dies. They show this new invention that they call the Hexcore to Heimerdinger, hoping he can help, like might have some ideas, but the professor begs them to destroy it. He's seen nations destroyed by similar magic, and they fight about what to do with it and decide to bring it before the council. Kate and Vi, meanwhile, look for safety and come across a safe house deep in the Undercity. Vi is in bad, bad shape and seems to be bleeding out, but the two seem to be growing a little bit closer. Vi essentially passes out, and Kate goes to look for help. She comes across a deformed Shimmer addict who claims Vander once helped him, and so he wants to help Vi. He leads Kate to a back alley doctor who makes some potions. Classic anime stuff here, and Kate trades her gun for the cure. Topside, Jace is making moves of his own. After getting doctored evidence from Marcus that implicates the Firelights, he orders that everybody crossing the bridge from the Undercity to Piltover be searched. Immediate search and seizure. And then, in the next council meeting, he leads a vote to kick Heimerdinger out and sends his mentor into early retirement.
I felt bad for little dog cat, whatever little cat, person.
Whatever
he is, I was like, man, I feel bad for him, dog.
That's fucked up. He was like, wait. I did this. I brought you into this shit.
Hit him
with
the Uno reverse card.
But it made sense, though. It made sense. It's like, bro, you're 300 years old. You got time to wait, my man. Like, yeah. we don't have this type of time.
Yeah.
You can wait another 100 years. You're going to be alive still. We're going to be dead in like 20.
People are dying today.
Yeah.
So back at the safe house, Kate gives Vi the Shimmer Lace potion, heals her, but it isn't long before they're confronted by Silco, led there by the same Shimmer addict who helped them. As he gives the addicts a dose of Shimmer that makes them go feral, he tells Vi that Jinx is his family now and sicks the addicts on him. You know, Vi turns and punches the leg of the water tower safe house. All comes crashing down on all of them. She and Kate manage to escape, but Silco survives. Takes his rage out on one of the addicts who he just stomps to death.
Bro.
Damn, he stole from Steve Austin and stomped a mud hole in his ass.
Oh, for sure. In another flashback with Victor, we see his fallout with Singed as he mutilated one of his pets to keep it alive to preserve its mutation. But in the present, Victor returns and tells his old teacher, hey, I understand now what you were trying to do. After tying up Savika and leaving her as a message for Silco for lying to her, Jinx lights up a flare that allows Vi to find her. They embrace, and as Vi tries to explain to her sister what happened, Kate arrives, and the meeting goes sideways. Both Kate and Jinx are angry and suspicious of Vi's motivations, and Vi nearly calms everybody down. But in that moment, the Firelights attack. During that fight, Vi sees just how vicious a fighter and killer her sister has become. She tries to reason with her, but she and Kate are knocked out and kidnapped by the Firelights, along with Jace's missing crystal. And that's where we will pick up next time with Arcane.
Oh, man. Good job on the recap, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Man, appreciate it as always. Yes, sir. So, getting to this first question, man. As we're seeing in this show, the sisters are becoming rivals, man. Somewhat. Do you prefer a story where siblings team up to fight their enemies, like Fullmetal Alchemist, Demon Slayer, or where siblings are pitted against each other, like Akame ga Kill, Hunter, Rob?
As inspiring and motivating as it can be to see siblings working together and like, hey, you know, we got family, family over everything. I think it's more compelling and more interesting to see those same sort of bonds be broken. Mm-hmm. And like, can they be reforged? Is there something that can be, you know, put back together? Because like, one of the things, especially watching Akame Ga Kill, that I was looking forward to is like, when are Akame and Kurome, when are they going to fight? Like, right. Because of all that shared history, because of that backstory they have. Mm-hmm. And I'm not to say that, you know, those other shows aren't interesting. Full Metal Alchemist is one of my favorite shows. I love Demon Slayer. But that's such a compelling, like, you know, conflict for there to be, you know, hey, we have this common history. We both know where we came from. But even having all that same information, we took two different roads.
And when you say Hunter Hunter, you mean Killua and Illumi?
Yeah, kind of like Killua, yeah. and his family.
You know what's funny? To add, I guess to kind of add to what you were saying. I think it just depends on how the story's written. Because, mm-hmm. like, I can go for a tag team in a sense, but I do think Demon Slayer would probably be fired. Let's say Muzan did get Nezuko, and he got her to become, like, a super high-ass fucking, like, top-tier demon, and he had to go through. Because I like to see when they're against each other, but I do like to see them merge that bond back together and be like, yo, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah.
The reconciliation.
Yeah. I do love seeing that. And if I don't like necessarily seeing them kill each other, but I like to see them be like, all right, yo, my bad, I was tripping. You know, my bad, I was upset a little bit, man. You was always trying to big bro me and shit, like, out there in these streets. So I think it just depends on the story, to be honest. I actually like both a lot. I like both sides. I like the tandem. I like the enemies. Like,
you pulling a Brennan on us right now?
Huh?
You pulling a Brennan?
What does a Brennan do?
Saying both.
Picking both answers.
Oh, I'll pick a side. I like when they kind of go against each other. I'll pick a side when they go against each other, and then they kind of like reconciliate it towards the end. But I'll go against each other first, because that's just always, you know, they got to, you, like you said, you know, they got to meet up. They got to cast a fade. They have to at some point. So, as you'll see in another show coming up.
Yeah. What about you guys?
They got to go heads up. I need that Sasuke Itachi action. I think that's just, I think it got to be a lot of weight to it, though.
Sure.
It can't be, because I feel like the Hunter-Hunter situation is not that big of a deal. I think Killua and Illumi don't have that much beef. It's just kind of like, that's my big bro, and he's with the shit.
Manipulating.
Strong. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, he did have the whole, like, thing needle thing.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, Itachi killed Sasuke's, you right. know, whole clan. Like, he killed everybody.
Wait, they're brothers or something like that?
Yeah, they're brothers, yeah. So it's like, you killed our whole family. You killed our mom and dad. Like, shit like that is like, okay, y'all got to get the smoke. And then when they finally meet, that fight is one of the greatest fights in anime sure. history. Mm. But on paper, it sounds dope, but I feel like in execution, the Kill la Kill, Akame Ga Kill and the Hunter Hunter, like, both of those aren't, like, crazy good examples of, I feel like, of those.
I wanted to put Naruto, but I haven't seen them. So yeah. Those are just, like, random examples.
But
I'm sure there's better ones.
I was trying to rack my brain. I feel like the dad-son dynamic, I feel like, is a lot better. Like, as far as, like, I wouldn't say Baki, because that's a trash example. But, like, I feel like in Hunter x Hunter, like, the Gin versus trying to find his dad. I mean, going trying to find Gin,
or even,
stuff
like
that.
Jujutsu Kaisen, the two sisters.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think stuff like that, I want to see it played out, and I feel like on paper the sibling rivalry is better, but as far as execution and seeing it on anime, the FMAs and the Demon Slayer, the team ups have looked a lot better and have been a lot better story.
So what do you think about this one so far? Because I feel like this one, at least they were kind of getting active a little bit.
Yeah, she almost killed her sister unknowingly.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, not killed. He killed homegirl. Almost got the I forgot her name. The blue hair one.
Oh,
got her up out of
Jinx.
There. Yeah, so that wouldn't even have happened. Like, yeah. No, Jinx almost got the other blue. Yeah, got her out of there. So I was like, damn, he didn't even know it. To unknowingly kill your sibling, fucking crazy.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for this one, I'm going to go with the siblings pitted against each other.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, as we see, Jinx is having moments in here. She's pretty much had some rebelling moments. When is the time as a kid when you rebelled, Ice?
what one time that I think about too, and I got my ass kicked for, and it wasn't even nothing major, but my parents always told me, like, you need to get off at the bus stop that you're supposed to get off on. Mm. And that was like, I never really understood that. I'm like, I can't get off on the bus with my friends. It was like, you need to get off here, because, you know, they're thinking parents, like, people are weird. You know, I'm waiting for you at this bus stop. You go off anywhere else, you can get snatched, all that shit. I ain't thinking about that shit. So I felt like my parents pissed me off, and I missed out. Like, there was a big fight that happened that I didn't see because I got off at the spot I was supposed to. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get off on this stop every time, the wrong stop every time, just to rebel. And then there was happened to be another fight that next day, and then I got off in that stop to get to watch the fight. And, like, 30 minutes passed by, and then I see, like, my freaking mom and my dad, usually just my mom and my dad hit the corner, like, and they walked, and like, and it's like a good little distance to walk over where I was at, and I see them hit the corner, and I'm like, I tried to like hide in the crowd, and then like my dad just pushed everybody, like he damn near stopped the fight and was like, come the fuck on, like, what the fuck you doing? It's like, they wasn't even fighting no more, like, they was like, yeah, this fight is over, Ice is getting embarrassed. And that was my way of rebelling.
Oof.
Rob.
It's not even all that exciting, but the one that comes to mind mainly, like, especially in like junior high, like early junior high, like seventh grade, there were teachers that I had that I was like, if I got along with that teacher, like, we were cool. Mm. And like, we'd have like great, like, I like my history teachers, my English teachers, I usually got along with really well. Maybe just because of the subjects, and those were the ones I gravitated towards. But if I got into like math and science, and like I didn't have a teacher that I like vibed with, mm-hmm, it was a totally different story. Like, they could have probably talked, both those teachers talked about me, and mm-hmm, you would have been here thinking you were hearing about two completely different kids. Damn. And like, I had one math teacher in particular that, like, I'm sad to say, like, in hindsight, I'm a little bit like, I probably was a little bit too harsh on this teacher. Like, me and my friends, like, would definitely made her life a living hell, to a point where, like, I had to bring in like a thing like every week to be like, Rob didn't act like a shithead. Like, yeah. They had to sign off on that. Like, Rob's doing his homework. Mm. Rob's not being a shithead. And like, all I wanted to do was just like, I wanted this teacher to be so miserable because, mm, like, we just did not get along. She was like super mean. It reminded me a little bit of that professor you told me you had about that was just like this, like, everybody fails this class and I don't really give a shit.
Oh, yes. Yep.
You know what I mean? She was
they
just
get a kick out of it.
Yeah, like, all you kids are going to fail this class because you're dumb and, like, you don't know, like, what you're doing. Like, you did terribly. And I just didn't respond to that sort of motivation that way. So, I was not great in that class. And, it was a thing. Got sent to the office a couple times, but, you know, it is what it is.
Fuck you, lady.
Yep.
You remember her name?
Mrs. Grinnells.
Mrs. Grinnells. Sound like a raggedy bitch.
Would you still have beef with her now, you think?
Is that somebody that's on your slap list?
We'd probably be all right now, like, because, you know, it's so long ago. But I don't know, there was definitely a few teachers, like, that wasn't the only one. I had a couple other teachers later on that I definitely had some issues with, but even then, like, some of them I've run into and it's just like, man, those times were crazy, right? Yeah, like, yeah, they sure were. Yeah. And like, it's just like, kids are kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah Ah, man, I feel like I got so many different ones, but I guess I'll go back to my dad. Just like talk, like, I guess doing chores and talking back. At a certain point in time, you get to a certain age, you just like, you don't want your parents speaking to you like you're like 6 or 7 and mm-hmm, you're like 16. And I remember my dad, we had gotten into it, and he was just like, if you got a problem with what I got to say, I don't think you need to be fucking living here. I said, well, I don't want to fucking live here. And
you said that for it?
No, I didn't say that for it.
Even when he was about to leave. I get it. I totally get that.
I was like, I don't need to be here anyways. I hate this house anyways. Like, you're whatever. And he's like, all right, then leave. And then I try to go grab my shoes. He's like, you didn't pay for the motherfucking shoes? Mm. So I had to leave. I had to walk. So, yeah, you know Blako. I had to walk to Blako's house fucking in my white socks.
Damn.
How on far rock. Just walk? At this time, it felt like an hour, but it probably was about an hour. But it technically wasn't probably that far. It's not far. It's not far in a car, mm-hmm, but it's far in a walk.
Yeah.
And when you're a teenager, it just seems just like, God damn, it felt long. Mm-hmm. And in socks, so I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think I might have had some basketball shorts on with no drawers too. So I was just. And then when I got to his house, he wasn't there, so I had to just, hey, fuck you, Cam.
Man.
I got, and for some, and normally his family's home early. For some reason, they didn't come home till like 11 p.m.
Damn.
This happened like around like 6.
Ooh. Damn.
So I was just walking around that neighborhood.
In your socks.
Yeah. Then I kind of like laid down like near their house. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to sleep outside.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm homeless for the day. And then his older sister had pulled up. She saw me, And it got cold, too. She got me in the car. She's like, what happened? And I think in hindsight, it was kind of just like, bro, you were just being childish. But at that point in time, when you're a 16-year-old kid, you're just like, yo, I'm done with this shit, bro.
Yeah,
like,
I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm tired of you talking to me a certain way. You could as a parent, handled this better. And I ran away two more times after that. I felt, I ain't gonna lie, man. I felt like a white kid. I was just like, fucking out of here, man.
I can do better on my own.
Watch, I don't even need you as a dad. I need this.
On your way out.
I know, hell no. Nah, I would have been destructive. He would have made me fix the wall when I got back, pay for that shit. But yeah, I felt like, yeah.
Got your little bindle on a stick just over the shoulder. I'm gone.
Bindle on the stick.
Yo, never.
Going to the railroad.
Never again. I was just like, running away is stupid. I had zero plans, bro.
That reminds me, this is completely unrelated. I saw some video this week of some kid that's just like, I'm running away. And the dad's like, all right, cool. And the kid's like, all right, I'm going. And he's like, all right, go ahead. And he like walks out the screen door and just like takes a couple steps down the sidewalk, turns around. He's like, bye, see ya. Takes another couple steps and just starts bawling into tears, runs back, just like, let me back in the house. Like, dad's like, yeah, all right, you can come back.
Call your bluff.
But it's like at the end of the day, it's like these kids now, it's like, yo, if I take your phone, if I take your laptop, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
How are you even going to get there? You don't know how to get there without fucking GPS.
Yeah.
So where are you going
to
go?
You don't know how to read a bus schedule.
Yeah, I knew how to get to Blake's house because I've been there so many times, either walking to his crib. So I knew how to just navigate there with nothing. At that time, there wasn't no phone that mapped you. Either had to print out MapQuest and you had to figure out your fucking way to get there.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, that was... Next question. All the tech, they're trying to be innovative with this tech on this show, and they're trying to... I think I had another question at one point. I think I might have took it off. I didn't put it on there. You know, he wanted... the little cat dude wanted them to wait, what, like 10 years? Or
10 years, yeah.
At least, 10 years.
So this is part of my question that I didn't put on there, but it was like, do you think you should be careful and wait for tech, and do you think tech can be the end-all be-all? I think this is kind of a tough question because I think tech does innovate us for sure and push us forward as a society, but I do think we become a slave to tech, and if you don't do enough research on certain tech, I feel like you can probably set us back, if anything, you know, on this thing. The dude was kind of saying, like, yo, I think, look, he looked like a little cat dude had like a vision about what happened before.
Yeah.
And it looked like this, whatever they were about to create can destroy some shit. It's just like, yo, perfect it first before you set us back to fucking the Dark Ages type shit.
Yep.
And I think this is tough because as much as I enjoy and love tech, and I know that tech does innovate us and make us better people, it also makes us lazier people too, man. I do see that tech can be the end all be all for us. I do think that it can possibly, even tech can kill. I can see some fucking Terminator shit happening to where we're going against, and not necessarily in some killer robots, in a sense of like, it might be on a scale of just manipulation, like in a sense of like our computers are starting to manipulate us. We don't even know what's happening. Our phones are manipulating us.
In a sense, it is based on the algorithms that are giving you ads and all that. They have the data, and they're trying to make you think and buy and act a certain way based on what it's sending you.
Yeah, and I mean that can turn us into a lazy, just brain dead society, and I really feel like that's somewhat happening. What do you guys think, Rob?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously, tech is the reason we're able to do what we're doing right now, right? So there's like a good side to it, and even if you look at like nuclear energy, right? Like nuclear energy is
a
big reason like we're able to, you know, it's when it's done right. It's clean, it's powerful, like it can be great, but you know, we've created enough nuclear bombs, we can kill the entire human race like several times over at this point. And like, what do they say, like World War IV will be fought with like rocks and sticks, because like all the technology from World War III will be gone because we nuked ourselves into the Stone Age.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I think tech can definitely be a good thing, but it gone unchecked, it could be a problem for sure. Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, I think somebody can use it as a weapon. I think that's like a lot of stuff they were talking about in Iron Man and so many other forms of media, but Iron Man is what popped into my head. But we use this to heal people, but it also can be a destructive thing to kill people. This can also be an antidote. I mean, because you think about a lot of the drugs that, you know, people ended up are being Schedule I drugs, or the opioid crisis, all these other stuff, like, you know, cocaine, crack, all this stuff that came from less... poppy leaves. Like, these was just grown to do other things, for medicine, to numb people. Now it's, you know, people are ODing on these things. So it's like, there's so many things that intended purpose wasn't that, but it ended up being something else. A kitchen knife, you know, for instance. Like, yeah, you use it to cut stuff, but you can really still fuck somebody up with a
kitchen knife. It could be a tool or a weapon.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think, will it be the end of us? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but I think at some point, hopefully, and this is me having some type of optimism in humanity, I feel like we'll get to a point where it's just like, all right, like, this is bad. Like, we need to stop. And I think putting those guardrails on, again, that's a foolish
optimism. You believe
optimism.
In us too much, my brother.
Again, it's a foolish, it's a very foolish optimism, and I'm just hoping that, like, we get to that space, but also, too, and this might sound fucked up and selfish, but I don't think we're going to see it in our generation,
I don't think so.
Yeah. I kind of don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah, because like, my great grands, good luck, motherfuckers.
Right, yeah. like, when y'all deal with it, but us as a people now, I think we'll be okay, but yeah, like, my great-great-grandchildren might have to deal with it, and after that, I don't know them. Like, I don't know Icy the Fourth.
Good luck.
I'm like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Like,
and that
fuck him!
And that sucks, man, because it's just like, at the end of the day, you just can't trust. God. You just can't trust. There's always corrupt people in here. There's always just like, you know. So next question. Jace, is that what her name is?
Jace, yeah.
Jace tried to play it straight, but ended up making an underhanded deal to put himself in power. Do you think things can be done only playing by the rules? Can politics be had without corruption? Rob.
I gotta be honest. Like, I think ideally, right, we want all of our politicians, all the people we vote for, to be like, all right, I'm playing by the rules. I'm doing the right thing. Obviously, everybody runs on these campaigns. It's just like, I'm gonna do it right. This guy over here, he's lying. He's doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can get stuff done sometimes without breaking the rules, without bending the rules, and like making some handshake deals and like doing some shit. I mean, they talk about like every president at some point is like, they've been a murderer, right? Like, there's things you have to do to have those positions of power, to maintain things that are just like, I think if we knew about it, like, I don't know if we necessarily, I don't know if the people in this room would be shocked, but other people might be shocked by like what people have okayed, said is cool, like given the order to do. I don't know. Like, and I think back, like, and this might be like a way back pull. Like, this was back in the 2016 election, like when Hillary was running during the Democratic debates. There was this dude Lincoln Chafee, and like his whole thing was just like, Gaddafi. I've never had a controversy in my life, like I've got this clean record, totally clean, like my dad was great, like I'm great, and everybody fucking wrote that dude off as a fucking loser. Like, he threw some like accusation at Hillary Clinton, and I remember they were just like, Mrs. Clinton, do you want to respond to that? And she was just like, no. And that was it.
And that was it.
Yeah. That was it. That dude
you know
didn't show
your
up
power
in another
in
debate.
That spot. It's like, it can get more messy if I elaborate on this.
Yeah.
So let me just, you're a clown. You're not going to make it to the end.
I don't need to validate this dude with a response at this point. So like, somebody that was quote unquote clean and never had anything on his record, it was just like, he was a joke. They had a whole thing about him on Saturday Night Live where he was just like, all right, that was me, Lincoln Chafee, bye forever. Like, and I have not seen that dude since. You know, it's just so, I think, people want to come in with these clean records and clean ideas, but it's tough, man. I don't know if politics can be done without the corruption.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it can. I think you have to be just a. That's why I just can't fully ever get with politics like that, because I just know you're a dirty motherfucker, man. Yeah. And it's like you. I think they might even come in with. I think that's the thing. I think they come in with the intentions of like, yo, I want to be this. I want to be different from everybody else. It's like, all right, go ahead, man. Do that. Be different. You're going to change. You're not going to be corrupt at all. And it's just kind of like, all right, motherfucker, look, we got this much money, and we need you to do this. Well, I can't do that, man. That's against my people. Look, man, your daughter goes to school on the school over here, right? That's the address for it. So like I said, I have this money. We need you to get that shit done, or else we're going to pay a visit to your daughter. And then you're going to pull the trigger, not in a, you know, in a literal sense, but like, you know. So it's like, yeah, I just think it has to be done that way, and it's so fucking sad. It's like, that's why I think you just, I think if you understand that, it's like, I think you won't even take politics as serious as we're taking it right now. It's like, they should be doing this. It's like, motherfucker, do you understand that they don't? Like, they have to do some corruption. They have to. Like, some of them are being paid by some of the dirtiest people, and if they don't do it, they fucking they're gonna have their family fucking murdered. They don't have a choice. It's either you or them. And it's going to be fucking you, motherfucker. It ain't going to be them. So good luck, asshole.
Get them up out of there.
Get them up out of there, man.
And then I think the thing about politics, the only way that we can ever get in a clean space with politics, and that's clean with heavy, heavy quotations, is that if people don't do dumb shit before they get in the office, and then they keep their shit on the up and up, until they get in the office. Because then it's like, okay, you don't have, because a lot of this shit is extortion. Like, some people make bad
true,
shit
very true. Sure.
when they was governors or yep. mayors or yep. city council, and they got some shit that they, you know, that's going to come back. Exactly. yep. In that exact voice. Yeah. Yep. In that exact voice. And I think even, it's not necessarily tech, but it's a big, great example of, you know, something that has a great use, but we use it the wrong way, is capitalism. Like, on paper, if somebody were to explain capitalism to you, it's like, fuck yeah, like, let's do that. But then when systemic stuff start coming in and people use capitalism to shit on the little people, then it's like, wow, capitalism is terrible. Yeah. And then it's just like, same thing with politics. It's like, politics, like, let's create a Democratic Party where people get to vote and that stuff. But then when you see the intricacies of the parties and of voting and how corrupt even voting can be, it's like, damn, who are we even split? Like, is Republicans and Democrats a real thing, or all of them on the same side, but show that they divided so they can get money? So it's right. like, there's so many things. It's like, yeah, we divided on TV, but we just shaking each other's hands.
It's pro wrestling, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the best way to explain yeah. it. So
WWE,
I think,
the Republic versus the Democrats.
The elephants versus the horses. Yeah. yeah, like, it's like, that's exactly what it is. And I think that people have to propel this stuff, and then you have people that ideals or ideologies align with what you want, and then you have to come to terms with maybe that person never being in office.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Does happen.
All right, so next question, man.
After that happy note.
Yeah. Let's go to kind of a, I guess, somewhat of a funner, I guess, question, maybe. We see how Jinx is, man. This little chick was out here twitching, out here just having schizophrenic breakdowns, just
talking
shooting
to her dead homies.
Yeah, talking to the dead homies, shooting everything, just blowing up random motherfuckers for no reason. Would you want someone on your team as mentally unstable as Jinx? Let me tell you something, man. It's kind of hard, because if I'm saying Jinx herself, clearly she's somewhat of a genius, right?
Yeah.
In some instances,
clearly.
Right. Mm. But it's like, bro, you are going to get motherfuckers killed, and you're not even going to care.
Yeah.
And what's more important, my team and my team respecting me? Because you can tell motherfuckers on, what's his name, the Silva? Is his name Silva's?
Yeah, Silco.
Silco. Yeah. Silco. They like, hey, man, we don't really fuck with her, bro. Like, she a little...
No.
She's, yeah, we don't mess with her like that. And he's kind of just like, just trust me on this one. I don't know if I could do it, man. As genius as she is, she's going to corrupt it. She's going to make the team fucked up, and you're going to lose morale in your team. Once you lose morale in your team, it don't matter if you have this genius.
Yeah.
Because now it's going to be y'all two.
Yep. Exactly.
And Silco, I don't know what you can do necessarily one-on-one with a lot of motherfuckers. I don't know yet anyways. So it's like, yeah, as much as I will want it, I just can't do it, bro. I can't have somebody that mentally unstable. If I tell you to go do a mission and all of a sudden you come back and you murder everybody, it's like, dog, you just started the fucking biggest world war right now. We're fucked.
Yeah.
Because you want to be an idiot.
And it's like, you might have won the mission, but it's like the wake that you created because of your decisions, it's like, why even do that? Like, I don't think the trade-off is good. It's like, right. Yeah, you gave me this piece of magic, but it's like the fucking collateral damage that you created because of this is stupid, and yeah. Now we're fucked because of it. So I as cool as it sounds, like Saturday morning cartoons, it's cool to have that crazy person.
Yeah.
But in the darker, more realistic...
If you were building your team
to get
work done, Ice.
Me, I'm not going with it. Just because, you know... being a leader, I guess, outside of the podcast, is like, no. I mean, because I've had a couple of loose cannons that were really great at their job. And obviously, I'm not killing people or nothing, but it's business stuff. But you still have those people that are the outliers and outside the bikes. And this has worked for me before. And it's like,
yeah,
but at what cost? And, you know, if the stuff ain't lining up, and even if it does, it's like, is it worth it? If I can find somebody that maybe not deliver the same level as the results of you, but it's a lot more sane and it's not going to cause me as much headache, I'm going to go with that person.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that person, as cool as it sounds and fun as it sounds, I'm not putting it on my team, that person on my team.
Rob.
No, it's a hard no. Yeah. Jamoni in the stream chat put it best. She's got like Harley Quinn vibes at this point. I think that's true. Like, she's definitely got Harley Quinn Joker vibes. And like, you can't, that's not somebody you build a team around.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, obviously, even those other characters, Harley Quinn and Joker, they have their upsides, but like, they're not team players.
Yeah.
And like, clearly with Jinx, she's just like so involved in her own shit. Like, not even just her sister, like her own pain.
Yeah.
That she can't, she's not down for the mission.
Right.
I don't get anything from her that makes me think that she cares about what Silco cares about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, and she's kind of only loyal to him.
Right. Like, because I think they had that shared pain of, like, their abandonment and betrayal by, like, who they considered family. Like, you know, Vander for Silco and, like, Vi for Jinx. And so I think they bonded on that, and that's what keeps them close. But as far as, like, this mission of overthrowing Piltover, I don't think Jinx gives a fuck.
Yeah.
She's just doing what she has to do to get the attention and love that she feels like she needs that she's not getting.
Narcissist?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But no, I'm not putting her on the team. She's like, I'm leaving her at home. I'm leaving her on the bench. She's unpicked.
All right, so next question. As we've seen with Jinx, I guess being kicked out of the group, have you ever kicked somebody out of your group? Or have you ever been kicked out of a group before?
I was thinking more of Homeboy, the old man, the 300-year-old man getting voted out.
Oh, that's it. That's
getting sent packing.
Yeah, that's when I saw that happen. I was like, this is where my question came from.
And that might be even a little bit more rough, because you feel like you started this team, you was here this whole time. It's kind of like you've been here longer than everybody, of course.
It was his team, as far as he knew.
As far as he knew.
What's up? Well, I think I told this story on one of my movie nights, and again, Patreon, subscribe to the Patreon if you haven't. We have really fun talks during our movie nights. I know Keenan does as well. Either one of us, we always talk stuff before and after the movie, more specifically after, and it veers off well away from the anime, but it's still cool to just chat with you guys. But one of the conversations that I was bringing up, and which reminded me of this, is like, I got kicked out of the DARE program when I was like in fourth grade or something. Like, the DARE teacher came in, you know, she's an officer and stuff, and the DARE officer, and she was just talking about, you know, the whole, you know, DARE spiel, and I was just like, I raised my hand, I was like, you're wasting your time, because everybody here, a majority of these people are gonna do drugs. Like, I'm not, because I don't really like it. Like, I'm not a big, I've never been a fan of drugs, but I'm literally looking at my classmates acting like they're rolling blunts up and smoking, you know, notebook paper, and acting like they're cigarettes and joints. They're definitely going to be smoking. I'm not.
Hey, I did that. I didn't smoke. I never smoked still. And yeah, I was out there rolling up papers on the stove.
And then doing that, But I'm just saying, that's the vision. Like, and the majority of those people, you know, that you have the anomalies like Keenan and myself, but there's people among all of my classes doing this. They have big brothers, big sisters that are doing this, and still, that's not always a direct correlation. But still, these we gonna smoke. And I said that, and that was just me. I just wanted to be an asshole. Like, I just wanted to be insubordinate, and I wanted to start shit. And I stayed true. I never smoked, but everybody, a lot of those people did. But she kicked me out. She was all like, "You are a bad influence to the class," because, you know, I was, like, people like me because I was joking and stuff like that. So they was like, "You're a negative influence. You're going to cause people to do drugs. You need to, you're never going to be in a part of the DARE program ever again." So, like, every year, and that was for the rest of my time in elementary. Like, every time the DARE teacher would show up, I would have to go to another person's class because they kicked me out of the DARE program. And it was like, "We won't even let you be in here again because you're a bad influence and you're going to get your classmates to smoke." I never smoked, but everybody else did. So a lot of them did. But they
so in the end,
out.
You were right.
And then I was right. I was like, I'm right. And then the DARE program ended up getting, like, dismembered for a long time because they was like, "You're actually influencing kids to do these drugs by giving them all this information and stuff." So, and I think they just brought it back recently.
They might have.
But it's,
I think,
like,
I've seen people, like, out on the corner.
Exactly.
Bit, yeah.
I've seen somebody at Porto's whenever. You
yes.
Know, yeah. That with the DARE stuff. But it's like, fuck DARE. Fuck DARE.
Hey, man, you know what? This is a dude who's brought back memories of smoking paper, dog. It was the dumbest shit.
Stupid.
I was at my friend's house rolling up notebook paper, smoking it, and I was going like, "Yeah, it's a motherfucking man. It's crazy, man." And I was just like, dog, we were smoking paper, and his mom was there. And I remember his mom being like, "What? Are y'all smoking? Lighting paper on fire in my motherfucking house?" We're like, "Oh, no. Now I'm sober. I'm fake high. Like, oh, shit. Now I'm like, oh, no, miss. But smoking
getting
paper.
Getting that ink in your lungs.
It's so funny to be like, to smoke as much paper as I did. And then I was afraid to pick up the blunt.
Yeah, me too. I never smoked. I never, to this day, I haven't smoked.
Yeah. I've taken an edible, but I never smoked before.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. For me, I've been kicked out of so many of my classes, and I remember as a teacher, that I said, I think I told the story before about, in the sense of, like, she didn't want me to, she said I had to be the Eddie Murphy or whatever, but it was funny, every time she kicked me out of her class, like, her class became dull. Like, because even she said it, I remember she called her mom one time, she was like, "My two favorite students are myself and this other, my other boy named Ricky, and But she would kick us out of class the most. And it's just like, you keep kicking us out, but you actually like us. Like, we make the class fun.
It's like the Thanos meme. Where did that bring you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Back. It's like, yeah.
Back to me.
And it's like, yeah. Every time I come back into class, it's just like, yeah, at the end of the day, your class is exciting. People come to your class and don't ditch because me and Ricky. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the real deal. Mm-hmm. But she would kick me out of that class, bro, or send me to the office, or send me to another class, and I just had to sit there. And she'd just be like, Keen, I just want you to be. But like, bitch, why you keep kicking me out for, man?
Mm-hmm. Like, just you start having a heart-to-heart.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't have to keep kicking me out your class, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been there, like, back in way, 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 way back. Like, I had growing up, there was, like, a group of us that all hung out together, and, you know, we were just like, oh, yeah, we're the group of kids that hang out. I don't know, like, we're the group of kids.
The hanger-outers.
We're the hanger-outer group. And, you know, we get into shit or whatever, and we had our fun, but there were two guys in the group that did not get along. Mm-hmm. But, like, we all hung out, so, like, we were all, like, part of the thing. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, like, things happen, people change, you get older. People start getting maybe a little bit more aggressive, and it did come to a point where, like, we were all hanging out one time, and they started exchanging blows. Like, it became a thing, and to the point where one of the guys was just like, "You gotta get." We were at one of their houses. Mm. He's like, "You gotta get the fuck out of here," and it was super late, and like it kind of came down to like we were all kind of just like, "All right, are we gonna stay? Or are we gonna go? Mm-hmm. Like, what's gonna happen?" And I'll be honest. Even though he was probably the one that was in the wrong, I ended up going with the kid that left because, like, it was late at night. He was alone. Like, I didn't want him, like, walking out by himself.
Yeah.
Going who knows the fuck where. Yeah. And he and I, honestly, had the longer friendship. Yeah. So even though in that moment I was just like, you were kind of acting like an asshole and, like, it didn't have to be like this.
Yeah. So you told him, though.
I was like, I looked at my buddy and it sucked. I was like, man, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going with the other guy and we left. And
it was just y'all two?
It was three of us. The other guy, another guy came with us too. Mm. And actually there was a fifth guy that wasn't really, he was kind of like in the outer orbit and he ended up staying because he was closer with the other dude. Mm-hmm. But it sucked. And like, I ended up kind of like still kind of being friends with both of them separately. But at the end of the day, I ended up kind of losing touch with the other guy. And I still talked to the dude that I left with and, you know, we've been through a lot, but yeah.
Was he at your wedding?
He was not.
Okay. That was where I'm going to fucking point him out.
All right, y'all. Last question before we wrap this up and get into our scores. Do you think this show has clear heroes and villains, and do you think they allow you to see every character's point of view and makes them relatable, Rob?
I think for the most part, yeah. I think that's what's cool about this show is, for the most part, you can see where a lot of these characters are coming from and you see their point of view. Like, Silco's an asshole, and like he doesn't necessarily go about things the right way. But when you see what the people in the Undercity are dealing with, and like what Piltover has and is not giving them, it's kind of like, I get why he wants to burn the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. Like, I get where he's coming from. Like, would I go about it the same way? No. Do I think he's hurting his people in some of these ways? Yes. But I understand wanting more for those that are kind of being kept under heel. And I think they do a pretty good job of putting those people on a spectrum. Obviously, there's like Jinx, who's a little bit, her issues are a bit more selfish.
Yeah.
But even then, you could be like, well, that girl kind of experienced a lot of trauma early in her life, like seeing her parents dead on a bridge, then getting abandoned, killing her siblings. Some of her things are her fault, but
yeah,
a lot of it.
A lot of her problems are self-inflicted. Mm. But yeah, no, I feel they do a good job of making everybody relatable. Even Victor, where you're just like, maybe he's going down a darker path, but I get it where he's coming from. But
yeah,
that's my point of view.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that there's not clear ones. I think who I side with more is Vi and you know, homegirl with the blue
Kate.
Hair. Kate, yeah, I side with them more just on what's going on. And then it's like, I can't, usually when you side with the villains, they don't have like weird elements to them that's like, I don't fuck with you for that. Like, you side with Thanos, you side with Killmonger because they have stuff that they stand on. And they don't have like underlying like weird shit. Like him, like I can't really rock with Silco just because that weird shit with him it's like I can't rock with you because you're doing weird shit. Like, I understand the overarching thing of like, you know, you need to attack the people that's, you know, oppressing us, cool, but it's just the fact that you not even, that's not your only goal, and the way you're going about it is just real weird, and I can't rock with it. But I like that they're making the lines murky. That's something that I've always been attracted to, is just a plot that makes the lines murky and like, who is who and the villain is right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it has clone. I think they want you to lean towards the Vi's and what's her name again?
Kate. Caitlin. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But she's also Kate is part of the ops, honestly. Like,
yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she's just like, yeah, why didn't your sister, like, didn't you have parents? Like, no, they're fucking killed by the enforcers.
Exactly, yeah. By y'all, the enforcers. That's the one that, yeah. It's like they're technically the ops because that dude Marcus, or is that his name?
Yeah, Marcus.
He's trash.
He sucks. Yeah.
He's corrupt.
Yeah.
So it's like you seeing the corruption and trash on both ends. But yeah, both of them are relatable, but I relate more with Vi and Kate and stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. It's funny, I feel like I don't know if I necessarily see a clear hero yet.
Yeah.
In this show. Like a 100% like these are the heroes of this show.
Maybe Vi.
I don't think she gives a fuck about anything but her sister right now. I think she's locked in on that. I don't think she has like a thing to where it's like, I want to save this world up here or save this world down here. I think she's just like, yo, my sister's alive? Yeah, fuck all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Let me get to her. Like, I think it's about that.
Yeah.
And then now that's kind of Jinx's thing too. And it's just like, you look at, forgot his name, the tech dude.
Oh, Victor?
Victor, yeah. Victor, I feel like with him, even with him, it's like he thinks he's even doing the right thing. But I think him moving his tech too fast is going to possibly fuck some shit up too.
Fuck himself up too.
And fuck himself up. Mm. So, and then you look at Silco, it's just like, I get that aspect too. It's kind of like, yo, our people. But I understand too, he's kind of corrupt because he's like, yo, at the end of the day, he's going to be the god of his people anyways.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, that's why I see him more as the villain. The villain seems a little bit more clear. Because even though he's trying to help his people out, he's going to also manipulate his people to do some fucked up shit.
He's
going to
be the ruler of bad shit.
Right.
Right.
Because, like, even Jace, like, he's a guy that's, like, he wants to do the right thing. He wants to help the people of the Undercity. But then he fucking puts up, like, search and seizure, like, orders on everybody coming over. Like, and that's not helping.
And yeah, I think, I don't know if it was from an episode or a writing perspective, but his turn was very quick. Mm. Usually when you see stuff like that happens, there are events that take place in between then the turn is gradual. But he just woke up one day and was like, fuck it, I'm shaking hands with the bad guys. Like, yeah.
And then even with like as much as beautiful as Mel is,
she kind of trash.
I feel like Mel might be somewhat manipulating some shit on her. I think she might have an end goal inside her head that she's like, all right, I'm trying to get it swayed this way, and I can use this guy. And it kind of sucks because she's so goddamn bad.
She's
so beautiful. So fine. But this is, when I saw that immediately, I was like, oh no, she's using this dude, bro. Yeah, she got a motive, bro. And so I feel like right now, to be honest with you, there's probably more villains technically in this show than we have seen as in here. I haven't seen a clear cut like, I want to either merge the worlds and, you know, make it even across the board from anybody yet.
I think Vander.
Vander
was probably the closest.
He's probably the closest, but
hero.
I feel like he was kind of just like, yo, give us a little bit, man, but we don't give a fuck to really mess with y'all like that anyway. Just don't really mess with us. Give us what we need down here and we straight type shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. There you go. For that question?
Yeah, no, that was everybody. Actually, I know that was our last question, but I've already seen the show. I remember it pretty well, but enough that I wouldn't be able to give predictions. Do you guys have any predictions that you want to give where you think the show might go in the last three episodes?
I think that Jinx and Ice are... Jinx and Ice. I think that Jinx and Vi are going to somewhat link back up, and they're going to probably end up either killing Silco or doing something, but I don't know. I don't even know if it's going to matter about the worlds. And then I think from the tech perspective, I think it possibly might set everything back. I think they might not switch, but I think they might put everybody kind of like in that underworld kind of dark space with the tech. Because I think he might do something. It's like, yo, we wasn't ready for this shit. And it fucks up the upper world. And now they're kind of all in an even playing field.
Interesting.
Could be wrong.
I think Silco is going to kill Jinx or Powder.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. Either accidentally or on purpose, because his back is going to be against the wall, and he's just going to have to get her up out of there.
She's too psycho, man. She might just be like,
she's a liability.
Yeah. She's going to be shooting everywhere. He's going to catch a stray.
Yeah.
Oh, you motherfucker.
One of them three are dying, for sure.
Silco, Jinx, or Vi?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Good predictions.
Interesting predictions.
All right. So let's get into our scores, our likes and dislikes. And, we'll get into it after next week. Ice, what'd you think? Episodes 5 through 4 through 6.
These episodes.
For next week.
I saw 7 through 9. I was just like,
where'd we leave off?
Scrambling.
Oh, that's funny. Spec said, I started with oregano and nutmeg and a paper towel. and I smoked that ganja daily.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious. Shout out to that. No, and I just want to make that clear. Like, I'm not demonizing anybody to smoke. Y'all smoke. Yeah, do your thing.
Yeah, a lot of people in this area might smoke. You never know.
Dry snitches.
Is it dry snitching, man? It's not like
a lot of people in this area.
At the end of the day, it's not like smoking's illegal. We live in California. That's live in the ganja state, man. It's not like we live in where it's illegal. It's like, oh, you.
Some people.
Brennan has stated multiple times that he dabbles in the greenery.
Brennan took a bowl hit on stream.
It's cool. I think this was a slower stretch. I didn't enjoy this stretch as much as the previous stretch. It came out hard. I think maybe. it might have. I can't say that sentence the right way. It started off with a lot of action, and I was hoping that it matched that, but it didn't. It felt very soap opery, and it felt like, oh, here's backstab. This backstab. This coming around. Let's do this. Let's do that. So it's like they were. I wouldn't even say setting the table. I think the arc that they wanted it to be was that arc. But I think so. Kind of like the point I made earlier is that from a writing perspective, they needed stuff to happen quicker. And you know, what's the dude's name?
Jace.
His he just made a quick 180, and that was kind of jarring for me. For him to like damn near the same night that he made that speech and held back the timeline for the Magic, he was shaking hands with bad people the next day.
Yeah.
So it was just such a short turnaround. I was like, damn, okay. Yeah, it was just a slower stretch of episodes. I did enjoy it though. I'm gonna give it a what I did. I guess dislikes what I didn't like. I just don't like the creepy vibes that Selko is giving to Jinx. What I did like is that whole action sequence in the beginning was really cool. Especially, I don't think they're gonna play a huge role in it, but just having another enemy with the firelights. Yeah. I think that was cool, and they look kind of cool. It was giving me Reaper from Overwatch vibes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give it a 6,300.
Okay. I feel the opposite advice. I thought this was way faster than the last three episodes. It wasn't even close. I feel like way more action-packed. They got after it. They did some more world building. They did some character building. I text Rob and I was like, yo, I'm gonna write a question about are you team fuck Gabby or team fuck Jinx or fuck Jinx? And he's like, finish up the last episode. And I was like, all right. And I kind of still have my reserves about it, but I mean when I say I don't like a character, that means like it's good writing to me. I think that's good character building, and I think they did a good job in turning Powder into Jinx and turning her into a complete socio psycho, whatever, all the paths.
Whatever path you got, whatever she's on.
Yeah, she's fucking nuts. I think the character development of Vi, I think the character development of a lot of these characters have turned up a little bit, and I think the world I think the world building of
puberty
has stepped up, and the action was dope in this. Like you said, what are those dudes called? The Firelights. I think Vi, just like her having that hand to hand combat,
that
like
was dope.
She was like, she was smoking motherfuckers, man. Like the action was dope in here. The animation was dope. Mel was beautiful again, as always. These three made me like the show more, because the first three I really didn't give a shit about this show when the first three episodes. It's like, all right, man. Y'all saying it's good, so it must be the next three that puts it in there the way it's good, because these first three I didn't care for at all. So for me personally, I actually like these stretches a lot. I give it a 7,200 out of these three. Rob?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much, because obviously I know where it's headed. I'll try to keep my criticism to just where this, what we covered in this stretch. But what I thought was interesting, and I think this is actually more true for the first three, I noticed stuff that I'm like, oh shit, this comes up later, or like there's little moments. And so I do think like they've done a great job with the world building in the show, and setting up the characters. And obviously from my question and how I answered it, I think I really enjoy the characters as a whole on the show. Like whether you love them or you hate them, like I think they do a great job. Like, and I can see what your criticism with Jace, but like for the most part, I feel like their motivations are well earned, and you see where they're coming from. And I think they do a great job of like pitting people you like against each other, which is like one of my favorite aspects of a show. Is like when you're just like, man, I kind of don't want to see these people like go up against each other, but you know they're going to. I'm really excited for the next three. just to, I guess, again, to keep it to just this, I agree that the action definitely took a step up. That that fight with Vi and Savika, I thought was dope. Like, especially when she just comes in with the knee and it's just like, let's fucking go. And then the reveal with the arm and like, oh man, that fight was really cool to see again. And even like when she and Powder or Jinx were kind of like fighting back to back against the Firelights and they came in to end that stretch, I thought that was a cool little action sequence. But yeah, I mean, even there's, I think one of the smaller moments of the show that's so heartbreaking, but like, god damn, like that's true, is, you know, when they go to that safe house and there's the dude that wants to help them, but then soon as Silco comes around with the shimmer, he's just like, I'll fucking do anything for that. You know what I mean? And like that little moment was just like, oh, that hurt to see.
Yeah.
And then like he wanted to help them, and then like the next moment he's just like, he's one of them brainless monsters that are coming at him. Mm-hmm. And who knows? That's probably the dude that Silco was stomping out at the end of this whole that whole thing.
Well, I don't feel bad for him either.
No, I mean, I get it. But you know, it's those little moments I thought are kind of make this show. That's make me enjoy the show. I think there are like really good human, true moments that ring true to real life, even though it's just like weird monsters and magic and science and yada yada.
And these stretches of episodes made me forget about the animation. I kind of like the animation in these three. Because when that first thing, I was kind of like, oh, this is hard to watch. But these three, I didn't even realize animation was what it was from the last three for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just used to it now.
I think it grows on you, yeah.
Yeah, I like the animation now on this.
Yeah.
What did you get the last episode's stretch?
I feel like a 62, maybe?
Was it a 62? I don't remember what I gave it last time. I'm going to give this a stretch of 7,000. I think that's an improvement on what I gave it last time. I want to say I gave the last stretch maybe like a 68, something like that.
That was an improvement for sure.
I did 72, I believe.
Okay, that makes sense. And I think I was a little bit lower than you, Ice. But I'm going to give this stretch a 7,000.
Okay, all right. So our scores are and a little bit. But that's good. That's good. That means the show is you know, it's doing what it does. We kind of like it. We kind of don't. I'm excited now to actually see, because at first I wasn't excited. Now I'm excited to see how this is going to close out. Can you say without spoiling, is there an ending or is there a continuation?
Clearly? It's been picked up for at least a second season, if not a third.
So these nine right here, it has to continue.
It will be a continuation of this story. I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Okay, cool. All right, so yeah, episodes 7 through 9 next week, 7 through 9 of Arcane. Join us, please, please join us for that. Remember, patreon.com/animation. Get us, get those Patreons up, man, so we can go from 89, 11 more to get to that 100. For Rob to get this haircut, y'all. Any?
Tell a friend.
Brennan is the best. Is that
Brennan?
It?
Is
Brennan
a bitch.
Produces.
Brennan produces.
God damn it. Brennan produces. Brennan produces is also a bitch. That's his Twitter handle. So remember that. Ice, you got anything?
Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon. I just dropped this week's anime versus. We got Akame versus Tengen. I know y'all was talking about Tanjiro, but just to avoid spoilers, we're going to go with Tengen. And there's something about Tengen that I picked specifically for this fight, and the people in the Patreon haven't said it yet. So I'm just waiting for somebody to bring it up, because I feel like this is a good versus, but y'all so far have Akami washing Tengen. And I don't think it's that much of a wash.
Once he puts the blade on him, it's over. Right?
No.
I mean, he does have a bit of a poison resistance.
That's the difference. So, you know, by the time that you guys hear this, if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, hop on that Patreon and speak your piece. We also had a really good discussion, and I might bring it to a poll, is the three biggest anime characters in all of anime. Who do you think are the three biggest? Not the strongest, not who would be who, not who's your favorite, but who are the three biggest anime characters
most popular?
In all anime.
Yeah, it sounds like most popular. Yeah,
most iconic. Who's on the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, say most popular. Because if you say biggest, I think it's going to still be. If you say most popular,
I said, like,
on
a world stage, it's like if you see somebody, it's like these are the three most, the most
recognizable,
At first,
and just to give you guys a little preview, at first I had Goku at 1, Naruto at 2nd, but then there was a huge person that I was leaving out, and I'm sorry that I disrespected this man's name, but Pikachu. I feel like that was like he's definitely number one. Like,
oh yeah,
but it was always that conversation of that was another conversation of like, is Pikachu the main character or is Ash the main character?
Is you saying Pikachu over Goku? I don't know about
Pikachu is way bigger than Goku. I feel like it's Pikachu up here and then Goku and Naruto at the bottom. Not at the bottom, but he a far 2 and 3. Pikachu is it's not even close.
Pokemon is huge, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even close. Mm.
I think Pikachu would have more name recognition, but I hear you. Like Goku's been around for a while.
He's been around for a while, but I think just 2-3 year olds know Pikachu. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Mm. All right, Rob, you have a.
Yeah, I got an artist to plug on Instagram. Check him out. It's Udei2020, UDEI_2020. I mean, they got some cool, looks like it's not pencil, but it's definitely anime-inspired illustrations. It was kind of cool. They got, like, the grid layout. Like, they'll do their illustrations, then kind of, like, give you the macro versions, like, zoom in so you can check out the details.
That's dope.
Check them out, Udei2020. Also, I'll shout out your YouTube channel because this morning I was walking out in the rain. I had my phone in my pocket. I was listening to a podcast, and then all of a sudden, like, my nose was running. I was just out there. And then, I don't know, I must have hit a button, like, you released a video or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it instantly transitioned to your voice. It's like, who's that out there wiping their nose? And I was just like... Is somebody hacked into my headphones right now? I threw me for a loop.
That's fucking hilarious. Threw me for a chances?
Loop. Because I was literally just like, I can't wait to get upstairs and wipe my nose because my nose is running in this rain right now. But yeah, yo, check out Ice's YouTube
channel. That's hilarious. That's all great. Right. I appreciate that, Rob.
Yeah, man.
Follow Cam, Stickman Studios. Stickman Studios.
No C
at all. Keenan Baker on every single thing. Follow me. Like I said, man, join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. We have a lot of great things on our page. You know, from what y'all said to us, y'all told us that we give y'all probably more than most of any other Patreons that y'all sign up for, man. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just thought about this. You know, the acronym for the greatest anime podcast is, you know, TGFAPITEW.
That's a hell of a long
acronym. That's great, but also, too, instead of podcast, we can put Patreon. That works. The greatest fucking anime Patreon in the entire world. Shout out to y'all.
To give up a two.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Thank y'all for joining us in the sense of our Patreon gang, man. Y'all always look out for us. Thank you for joining us and out there in the world that just listen to us. We appreciate y'all, too. Y'all also big to us. Don't think we do not appreciate y'all, too.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening, really thank you.
Thank y'all so much. Keep spreading that love. Keep spreading. This should be literally the greatest fucking anime podcast. We know that how dope this is. Y'all know how dope this is. So spread the word. Talking anybody shit. I know that rocks with anime, y'all show them this podcast. They have over 150 episodes to binge listen to. They have so much content. And then, you know, let them know to join that Patreon. They got even more content. So shout out to all y'all, man. We appreciate it as always, man. Patreon.com/animation. We'll see y'all next week. We out.
Peace. As Brennan would say.